some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Happy Friday. What's up, everybody? FTN DataCast here, presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer on Friday, June the 9th, 2023, continuing our team preview series that you can pair with the coaching and coordinating series up at FTNFantasy.com. The AFC West, we continue here today. Chiefs, Chargers, they have been up on the site for a couple days now. And the Las Vegas Raiders were posted today on Friday, so we pair the article with the podcast. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Hopefully everybody is enjoying the articles. They have been a blast to write, and I'm excited. Sunday will be the end of the AFC West. We'll finish it out with Denver, and then we will move on to the NFC West, starting with San Francisco, and we'll just keep going from there. Again, it's going to be a fun process doing these articles as well as the podcast. So, we have the Raiders today, and let's get right into it. Josh McDaniels coming off his first season in 2021 as the head coach. And this was an interesting season because we get a ton wrong, right? Just an absolute ton wrong. We try to get as much right as possible, and we do get plenty right. But in this situation with the Raiders offense, and, you know, myself, just speaking for myself for sure, missed on a lot. What have we seen from Josh McDaniels' offenses during his time with the Patriots? Been a lot of multiple backs, a lot of running the football with multiple backs, throwing to the running backs, and there really wasn't a lead running back very often, right? I mean, 2012, Stephen Ridley had 290 carries, but then, you know, Danny Woodhead had like 120 touches. And then from then on, it was a split for pretty much most of the seasons. I mean, 2013, Ridley 178, LeGarrette Blount 153. 2014, four different running backs had at least 60 carries. 2015, Blount had 165 as the lead. In 2017, you got Deion Lewis had 180, Mike Gillisley had 104, Rex Burkhead had 94 touches, like a ton of multiple backs. So, everything that we saw from the offseason last year for the Raiders kind of told us that we would see multiple running backs. The Raiders declined Josh Jacobs' fifth-year player option. The Raiders trade up for Zamir White in the draft. The Raiders sign Brandon Bolden. The Raiders sign Jacob Johnson, a fullback, which means they're going to run a ton of 12 or 21 personnel, which they did. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then you get to the Hall of Fame game. And that was the last straw of, okay, maybe Josh Jacobs is not going to be a lead running back and is not somebody that we should look to draft in fantasy football. It's for me, and it was like everything we were talking about on Twitter, right? Josh Jacobs in the Hall of Fame game. Like, this is what I wrote in the article, by the way. 11 snaps, 5 carries, 2 targets, and 6 pass routes. That, Josh Jacobs' numbers from the preseason Hall of Fame game, was all it took for almost the entire fantasy community to essentially abandon ship when it came to Jacobs. And it was true. I mean, I think he was drafted as, like, running back 27, 25, something like that. And yeah, so he's drafted as the running back 23. Between that and everything we saw in the offseason, I definitely thought we were going to see, once again, multiple running backs used in this Josh McDaniels Raiders offense. And then Josh Jacobs goes on to just absolutely dominate, right? Jacobs, second in the NFL in carries with 340, third in snap share at 77%, first in opportunity share at 83%. He had 79% of their running back or total rushing attempts, the highest rate in football. As you'd expect, the highest snap share for a running back in a McDaniels offense. It was a surprise, right? Like, their entire offense was hand the ball to Josh Jacobs, throw the ball to Davante Adams, and then if that didn't happen, they probably didn't gain yards. I mean, I definitely thought we would see more Zamir White, maybe some more Brandon Bolden on third downs, which we did see a little bit to start the year. Jacobs wasn't like a full-time third down player, but he was like, you know, 50% range. So after everything we've seen in the past from Josh McDaniels using multiple running backs with the Patriots, and like, to be fair, like Josh Jacobs, like the Patriots during those years didn't have a running back as talented as Josh Jacobs, but yeah, I know it's only been 1 year for McDaniels with this team, but I think we can, after last year, throw that out the window of him using multiple running backs here, especially because Jacobs is playing on the franchise tag. They can just give him another 300 plus touches, and then, you know, if they decide to, just, you know, move on. So that was the most surprising thing to me from this system and this offense with McDaniels. Do I think Jacobs sees that many carries again? No, but he'll probably be top 7 among all running backs and touches. So that was very interesting. The passing game, real quick, with the run game, like I mentioned, they signed Jacob Johnson. We saw Josh McDaniels play. You know, New England used a ton of 21 personnel, 2 running backs during his time as the offensive coordinator there. We saw last season, as you'd expect, I believe the Raiders were first in the NFL in 21 personnel last season. So they were a pretty, like, their run scheme wasn't overly creative, right? It was a lot of gap. 340 attempts for Josh Jacobs, 201 of them, that's 60%, came out of gap concepts. They used a lot of pulling linemen to create run lanes for Jacobs. They found their most success running to the left side of the field, according to FTN Fantasy's directional tool. 112 of Jacobs' carries were to the inside left. That was the most in football. And he averaged 4.5 yards per carry on those attempts. He only had 28 carries on the outside left. So this wasn't a team that ran a lot of outside runs to the tackle. They also really, really just only operated out of the I formation. 35% I form rate last year on first down was easily the most in football. They were 30th in percentage of plays out of the shotgun. And 283 of Jacobs' 340 carries came from under center. That's 83%. So I don't expect a ton of like creative run concepts. It's a lot of gap. It's a lot of to the left guard position, and use pulling linemen in that range. Let's go to the passing game, because this is very interesting. So in the past, we've seen Josh McDaniels' offenses really, really, really play inside out. You know, focus in the middle of the field and go from there. That's what we saw during his time with the Patriots. You know, whether it was Mac Jones, Cam Newton, Tom Brady over the past couple seasons, they were all towards the top of the league in pass attempts in the middle of the field. And like that was still the same last season. 27% of the Raiders' targets last year were to the middle of the field. That was the second highest rate in the league. The difference, though, was there was a ton of vertical shots last year. Davante Adams, 38 deep targets, led the league. It was the most of his career. He also led the NFL in air yards and was third in yards or air yards per out run. Derek Carr, 4th in the league with 71 deep attempts last year. But it's very likely that changes a little bit this season. Derek Carr, obviously, now with the Saints. Jimmy Garoppolo here, hopefully, will be the quarterback for the Raiders. And, you know, he's played in a system, obviously, he's played in this system exactly with the Patriots. And he's played in a system in San Francisco where it's a lot of the same concepts, middle of the field. Garoppolo, though, not taking shots down the field. So, like I mentioned, Derek Carr, last year, 71 deep attempts, 4th most in football. Garoppolo has 71 deep attempts over the past 3 seasons combined. And yeah, he's missed a couple games during that span, but like, we are going to see Adams, who had a 56% catch rate, that's going to go up because the deep targets are going to come down. They'll have to use more creative ways to get Adams the football. Like, he'll still be fine. I don't think he's going to have the deep looks that he saw last season, but it should still be, you know, a lot of passes to the middle of the field, which is why I was kind of interested in Hunter Renfrow last season. He only played 10 games, was not good when he was out there with Adams. They added Jacoby Myers, who obviously has played in the same system too, right? He was with the Patriots the last couple seasons that McDaniels was there. He's played in the slot like 65% of the time over the past three seasons. Like, there's been some rumblings of like maybe Renfro could get traded. I'm really interested to see what the personnel and usage looks like for Renfro and Myers, because both players have primarily played from the slot. And like, playing in the slot in this offense, especially with Garoppolo at quarterback, is going to be more beneficial and more conducive to fantasy success than playing on the perimeter. I mean, Adams is different. Adams is, you know, arguably the best receiver in the NFL. So I think we see, again, just still a massive, massive emphasis on targeting the middle of the field, but with less deep shots. So, like Adams, his catch rate will climb. You know, it'll be higher than it was last season, but he won't. I don't even know if he'll be top 10 in deep targets this season. Whereas he almost had 40 last season. You know, pace wise, Raiders about league average. According to FTN's pace and play calling tool, they were 14th in average seconds per snap. They were 25th in no huddle rate. They averaged like 1.63 plays per minute. So nothing special, nothing terrible in terms of pace for the Raiders. And the other thing I'll add is they were not really, you know, they were about league average in pass rate last season, whereas the Patriots in the past with McDaniels had been way more run heavy, even in some of those seasons with Tom Brady. So like, I think they'll be right around league average again, maybe a little bit more run heavy. Here's what I want to see from this team, though, going into 2023, especially with Garoppolo there now. And maybe it won't be as much because maybe they won't take deep shots like they will like they did last season. But this team, I was very, very surprised that they didn't use more play action, because you had everything that kind of set up for play action, right? Josh Jacobs was running the ball extremely well. They ran I form as much as any team in the league. That's clearly a formation where defenses think, especially with the Raiders, when they only had Adams and Jacobs, that's definitely a formation where defenses would think, okay, this team is running the football here. For a team that ran as much I form as they did, Derek Carr was only 30th among qualified quarterbacks in play action dropback rate at 21.5%. That changed because the Patriots starting quarterback has ranked top 10 in play action dropback rate in three of McDaniel's five final seasons with the team. So Jimmy Garoppolo, during his two fully healthy seasons in San Fran, was about 30% play action dropback rate. I think they should use more play action, especially if they continue to run so much I form and so little shotgun. I think that'll set some things up for them for sure. So that's something I'm really looking to see from them in 2023, especially because they have a different quarterback and they have, Waller's not there anymore. So they have different players on their offense. On the defensive side of the ball, Patrick Graham, he was their DC for the Giants in 2020 and 2021, and then joined the Raiders as a DC last year, and they had a change. This team, the Raiders have been playing a ton of zone, and especially cover three with Gus Bradley over the past handful of seasons, but they played a lot more man this past season, and they were more aggressive overall as a defense. So they were top 10 in man coverage. And in 2021, the year before Graham got there, they had a 12.3% blitz rate. That was 32nd in the NFL. Last year, they climbed all the way up to 26.2% blitz rate, which was 12th. So they blitzed a lot. They played more man. They did allow a ton of receptions and receiving production overall to running backs, which is surprising considering they played as much man as they did. They allowed the third most targets at 7.4, third most receptions at 5.9, and the most receiving yards per game at 47.3 to opposing backfields. Again, that's interesting considering they played less zone, but it's also worth pointing out that according to PFF, they had three players at linebacker that were inside the bottom 30 in pass coverage grade. So that might have had a lot to do with it for sure. But overall, they were a more aggressive defense. They played more man coverage. They blitzed like, you know, they doubled their blitz rate, more than doubled their blitz rate from 2021. So that was pretty interesting to see. I expected some sort of change after playing as much zone as they did. But that's what we saw. In terms of additions, subtractions for this team, like I mentioned, Darren Waller with the Giants, they drafted Michael Mayer. I think this is interesting. I mean, a lot of the tight ends that were drafted in this past draft landed in pretty advantageous spots. Now, McDaniels has completely gone away from the 12 personnel, two tight end sets. Last year, the Raiders ran 12 personnel 21% of the time. It was the lowest rate in football. So that means Michael Mayer is going to have to win the starting job over Austin Hooper and O.J. Howard, something he can certainly do. But if he doesn't and it's more of a committee and they don't run a lot of, two tight end sets, then Michael Mayer, who's not really like fully on the radar for redraft, is somebody that you're going to start right away. But if he's going to have some success, especially in the back end of the season, I mean, he'll have to be on the field, which again, I think he should be able to win that job. But just know that the Raiders they ran formations with two tight ends on the field less than any team in football last year. So that's something to keep an eye on for Michael Mayer. They bring in Jacoby Myers, like I mentioned, who's very familiar with the system that McDaniels is going to run. I just wonder how much he plays out of the slot compared to out wide, because Matt Collins isn't there anymore. So their three wide sets, you would think, would be Adams on one side, probably Jacoby Myers on the other, and Renfro as long as he's there in the slot. Myers is like a lower end PPR flex, and Renfro is nothing more than a bench player right now. But honestly, wouldn't surprise me if he's healthy. Like if he had more of a role than last season. Obviously, health had a lot to do with it, but he also just Adams had like a 32% target share, 30% target per out run rate. So Renfro averaged like 5 targets and 3.5 receptions per game when he played alongside Adams. So it's tough to do much there, especially when Adams isn't getting the ball. It's seemingly going to Josh Jacobs. Overall for this team, though, I think they'll probably be where they've kind of been, like 6-7 wins. I don't think they will be competing for the AFC West title. And Garoppolo's had trouble staying healthy. So if he's not healthy, we're looking at Brian Hoyer starting games for them potentially this year. Unless they sign Carson Wentz or something, or somebody that's out there. I don't know. I'm not too excited about this team. Even Devonta Adams, I'm doing a lot of these drafts where I'm at 10, 11, 12, right? And Adams is there. And I'm like, I'll just take CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I have both players ahead of Devonta Adams. Lamb comfortably. Amon-Ra is a little bit closer, but I do have St. Brown ahead of him. And then I wouldn't fault you, honestly, if you went Jalen Waddle, Garrett Wilson over Adams. I still have Adams ahead of those two players just because at the end of the day, he's still... If you said Devonta Adams was the best receiver in the NFL right now, I wouldn't bat an eye. So, but yeah, I think this is going to be an offense that has a lot of what we saw last year, but also a little bit some differences too because of the change in quarterback, some of the personnel changes as well. But yeah, that pretty much covers it for the Raiders, I think. Jacobs, Adams are really the only two players that you're drafting early. And then Myers, Renfro go middle to late rounds. Mayer is like a second tight end in underdog best ball drafts. Probably don't have to draft him at all in any sort of redraft, unless it's like a 14-team league. And then obviously Jimmy Garoppolo should not be on your radar outside of two quarterback or super flex format. So that will do it for the Raiders. One more team left in the AFC West. It is the Denver Broncos. We close it out. That article will be up on Sunday, so the episode of the podcast will be out on Monday. Also, check out a couple podcasts we posted this week. I had Pat Corain from Legendary Upside on the podcast talking about all things best ball, so that's a great episode to check out. And then over on the Dynasty podcast with Jeremy Popolars, Jeremy and I had Heath Cummings from CBS Fantasy on. We talked about some players rising and falling in Dynasty rankings. Reacted to the Dalvin Cook news, talked about Alexander Mattison, talked about a bunch of awesome stuff. So, yeah, there's so much content available for you this week between the podcast, between the articles at FTN Fantasy. We're doing the Sleepers, Busts, and Breakout series. We're doing the Second Year Scouting Report series. awesome stuff. Plus, the site just had a redesign, which looks fantastic. So if you haven't checked that out, I would highly encourage you to do so. As well as please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, any platform you listen to it. Definitely helps us out. And, you know, just keep it locked here at FTN Fantasy, FTN DataCast for more episodes. Obviously, we're doing these team previews right now, but there will be plenty of great content after this as well. This has been the FTN DataCast for Adam Pfeiffer. Peace out. Have a great weekend. We will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at A Pfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.